Welcome to the second series of the HE Knowledge Hub podcast, brought to you by Next Step Southwest, or NSSW. We're your regional UniConnect program funded by the Office for Students. We aim to address the barriers that people feel prevent them from studying at higher education level, which we'll refer to as HE in this podcast. And for those returning to study after a break, these barriers can feel even more challenging. So in this series, we're going to be speaking with adult learners studying HE courses at our 14 partner institutions across Cornwall, Devon and Somerset. We hope you find their experiences inspiring and insightful. As an adult learner myself, I'm very aware of the juggle of family life, work and learning, not to mention finances and the impact of all of this on your mental health and well-being. The people you'll hear from have all encountered and overcome many barriers to their studies. Sometimes, when the challenges seem too great, their desire to want to change things or fulfil their desire to do an HE course, plus inspiring determination, has propelled them over the barriers. With support from family, friends, and the HE institution staff and support services. First episode, I'll be talking to Zoe, Joanne and Jack. They vary in age and experience, yet remarkably their takeaways about the benefits of HE are resounding. Zoe found A-levels a challenge and didn't know what she wanted to do after school. After experiencing jobs with limited prospects, Zoe felt she wanted to find a field that she could progress in. Zoe talks to us about the benefits of HE aside from the qualifications she gained. She made use of specific support services that enabled her to make the most of her studies.
My name is Zoe. I study at the University of Plymouth and I'm studying occupational therapy, so a Bachelor of Science, a second year so far, so I'm about halfway through.
What were your feelings about school and education when you were younger?
So just for perspective, I'm 27 now. Started Great. The course when I was 25 years old. I finished sixth form, but I only came out with two A-levels. So when I was about 16, 17, 18, I was not really getting along with school so well. So I kind of just scraped through, but I'd sort of thought, oh no, I'm not sure I really want to go straight to university now anyway. So I took different paths in the end. I just went straight into work after I left school. So.
And what was that? What were you doing when you left school?
So I did a really quick sort of computer course in my local town, and then I became a legal secretary.
What was it that made you return to study then?
Well, after I'd sort of done that role for those 3 years, I got a bit bored in my hometown, and all my friends had sort of gone to university and had these new experiences, and I kind of felt like I hadn't had that. So I ended up actually going traveling for 3 years in Australia. I was actually working on farms.
Quite different.
Yeah, very different. I also wasn't sure it was something I wanted because I couldn't really progress much from where I was. And just kind of thought, well, I'm not sure what I want to do now. I don't want to go back to being in the office, just sat typing letters, but I kind of want something that I can sort of build on. I wanted an actual career, not just a job. Did a few like sort of online personality tests, which I really recommend to anyone. They're just the free ones, and they can sort of suggest like careers and jobs that might kind of suit what you're looking for. Or your personality type, and occupational therapy kept coming up, and I think it was a bit of a rush because I was maybe 2 weeks away from the UCAS deadline when I realized I can do this. So I had to sign on to a access course really quickly and complete that in about half a year.
Right.
And I managed to get in. So yeah.
What kind of access course was that? What was the subject of that?
So I believe it was it was some kind of health professions access course, and it was purely an online one. It really helped to sort of like refresh my memory on lots of things that I'd probably done in school but couldn't remember because it had been, I don't know, 6 years or something.
So yeah. Just to clarify, Zoe, did you leave school with the qualifications you needed to do the occupational therapy course, or did you need to do that access course to give you the qualifications to get onto that course?
No, I didn't have the grades throughout sixth form. I'd sort of asked and queried, can I do this because I'm a bit older and I've done some of the other things, but no, I had to do an access course. But actually I'm much happier I did that rather than just go straight in, because there's lots of things I learned in that first half a year that were so helpful in the first one.
That's great. So it was to get you the qualifications, but also, as you say, the refresher, those academic skills that sometimes we forget. But, you know, when you've had that break in study. During the course of your studies, have your aspirations changed? So what the reason you decided to do your course, is that different now, or do you feel like it's consolidated and you're moving towards that goal that you had originally?
Sometimes it depends on the day, but I think everyone has those days during your studies when you're like, oh, is this worth it? Can I be bothered to like write this stuff? It takes you forever. But then there's other days where it's really rewarding and you think, oh, I'm so glad I've actually chosen this.
So once you've completed your studies, you'll be looking for a career as an occupational therapist?
Yeah, occupational therapy is in really high demand, as well as quite a few other healthcare professions. I think after sort of 25, if you get student finance, it doesn't calculate how much you get on your parents' wage anymore. You're sort of considered independent. I believe it might be different if you have a partner. There's also the NHS Learning Support Fund, which is really crucial for healthcare professions. It's part of the sort of government drive. They want to get much more people in sort of healthcare because that's where there's a real shortage. So it's a bit of a financial incentive of about like £5,000 a year for a few specific health professions that is not repayable at all, not means tested.
So that those are the NHS grants rather than, you know, loans that you would normally think of that people take out to do studies. What factors would you say put you off until 25 studying at HE?
I think when I was a bit younger, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was a bit fed up of school. I didn't really enjoy school, but it's a lot more different at university. You have just a lot more sort of flexibility. I don't know. When I remember school, I remember sort of being, you know, told what to do by teachers. And like as a personal opinion, I found A-levels a lot harder to do than the access course to get in. And university, again, I would say I'd still rather do university for another 3 years than go back to sixth form.
I don't think you're alone there.
Yeah. I think when I was just a bit younger, I just thought, no, I just want to like do some other different things for a while. But then I realized the places I wanted to go next, I needed to study. I needed to get a career to sort of move up to where I wanted to be. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to go back. But I've actually really enjoyed it. And I've made some friends now. We're allowed to sort of mingle actually kind of like proven to myself that, oh, actually I can do academic stuff, because I didn't really believe in myself before. And I think that's something that puts a lot of people off, is thinking, oh, essays, I can't do them, I can't do that. But you'd be surprised, a lot of people can, and there's a lot of support, there's lots of things out there. And it's good to remember, like, teachers, like, they want you to do well, because they want to, you know, get more healthcare professions out there. There's like sort of Learning Support Cafe, which I used a couple of times, where you can actually just talk to someone, book an appointment, can do it virtually, so do it anywhere. And they can sort of be just like a third person reading your writing. The teachers, they actually record a lot of the lectures in my course. So if I can't remember something that was said that was really good, I'll go back and listen to it on our...
You can access that.
And the PowerPoints as well, which is really handy.
You've sort of hinted at the fact that once you start doing something that you didn't think you could do, there's a sense of growing confidence from you that rather than a detrimental impact on your mental health, it's had a benefit.
Yeah. And I think there's probably something that actually we learned about in our course. It's called like positive risk taking, where you actually have to step out your comfort zone, you know, to achieve a little bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah. So perhaps someone who has more considerations in their life, that the less time they have to give over to their studies, the more organized, but maybe the more focused you have to be about your studies. Actually, do you feel that you have more commitment to offer your studies now after that break?
You just get more of a sense of yourself and the things you actually want as well, which does just sort of hone up like what you want to do. You get so much more than just the degree out of university. But I feel quite grateful that at least I'm spending, even though it's academic stuff, which I don't find particularly natural, I know it's going to be worth it because I'm going to use it at the end.
So what's your opinion of university?
At first, yeah. I would just be sort of like, not snooty, just like, oh, people go to university to get a piece of paper. Because in my head, when I was a bit younger, I thought, oh, that's something I'll never do. I never thought I'd be able to do that. I never thought I was academic. Actually, now I kind of look at it, I'm like, oh, this is great because it's actually a gateway to get me where I wanted. Yeah. And I've enjoyed it far more than I ever thought I would. Yeah. I think my initial fear when I started university was that I was going to be older than everyone else around me, that everyone was going to be 18, I was going to be 25, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't fit in. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. I have so many people in my course who are over 21. I think about half of us probably over 21. And all the way to someone who is in her early 60s is studying with us. It's a fantastic mix. I love working with people from all different ages. It's really interesting what people bring.
Brilliant. So it sounds like it's quite different to how you thought it would be, that actually it is more inclusive, and the students are different to what you thought. Are there any other things that you've changed your mind on in terms of what you thought life as a student might be like, and what the reality is actually like now?
I was quite resistant to going in the library for a while for some reason. I think, again, that was sort of maybe just like an old thing of school of like, oh, I don't want to sit in the library and read books. But actually, time's moved on from, you know, if you are a learner, that you learn well from reading books, that's accessible to you. There's hundreds of books. You can read stuff on the internet. That's fine. But it's also moved on in the sense of we understand learning styles are different now. So it might be you learn better by videos or podcasts, or actually doing it, so like going on sort of work experience and things. And that's something in my teaching as well, they really emphasize those sort of different areas of learning, so everyone gets a chance to like absorb that info.
So you find that different learning styles are all catered for within your course. And actually, is there opportunity to do on the job sort of training? Do you get to go out? I mean, it's difficult in COVID times, but have you had the chance to go out and get your hands dirty, so to speak?
We have actually part of our healthcare courses, we have to rack up about 1,000 hours worth of experience, sort of shadowing in a placement. And we do that over our 3 years. So we'll do 7 weeks year one, 9 weeks year two, and 12 weeks in year three.
So it's not purely academic. You're not in a classroom. Mm-mm. You're not in lectures, different types of learning.
But I guess, especially in healthcare courses, so the physios as well and the podiatrists, we have some practical elements in class, but when we're out on placement, that's 100% like in the environment we're in. Like we don't really come back in for teaching during those times. But actually in the lectures, now I think about it, we did have a session on sort of like assistive technology, and they actually brought in all these technologies, so we actually got to see like robots and virtual reality headsets and try them out. So yeah, that was really cool actually.
What would you say to someone considering returning to study?
I'd probably say it's more accessible than you think. Yeah, I think it's definitely not something you regret, and either it might think, you know, oh, how am I going to balance this, you know, with, I don't know, looking after my kid and also doing these things. And you'd be amazed how you'll probably find other people in the same position who have done it and can make it and really don't regret taking that leap of faith.
Zoe thought the HU wasn't for her, but it turns out almost half the people on her course have had a break in between their studies. Our next guest, Joanne, had a slightly longer break before deciding to go into HU. Joanne enjoyed school, but due to family circumstances left when she was 16 without level 3 qualifications. After achieving success in various fields, but ultimately feeling there was only so much she could achieve without an HE qualification, Joanne spoke to her son's friend, who explained that the obstacle she felt preventing her from going to uni could be overcome with some research. And Joanne hasn't stopped asking questions since. She talks to us about the advantages of foundation courses and all the benefits she has gained in her time at university.
My name is Joanne Bradshaw, and I'm at the University of Plymouth. I'm a final year student. I'm currently studying business management with a minor in project management, and that's a BSc with honours. I would say that, yeah, I generally enjoyed school. I love the experience of going to school. I participated quite actively. What I wanted to do when I left school, I don't think I had a clue. I'll be honest with you. Careers support and advice wasn't certainly what it is nowadays. I originally decided that I was going to go on and do A-levels. I really enjoyed maths and geography, which is kind of where I originally was thinking of going. But what I did find was after 4 weeks of doing A-levels, it kind of wasn't for me. My personal circumstances had changed within our family life. And so I actually kind of felt partly disheartened by the fact that, unfortunately, the school I attended secondary, kind of going on to do A-levels, sixth form within that school was really my only option, as otherwise I would have had to have taken quite a big commute to another town. So you were kind of trapped. If you wanted to go on and do A-levels, you really had to stay at sixth form. There was no additional variety. I had huge timetable clashes as well. And I just kind of felt it just didn't sit right for me at the time. I felt that the teaching staff were still treating me like a GCSE student, not an A-level student. So in the end, I ended up leaving. I left literally with my GCSEs, and I signed up for a YTS apprenticeship in the travel industry and decided I would just go out to work, earn quite a small amount of money, but at least would be earning.
So what was it that made you change your mind and decide to come back to HE?
I've had multiple careers. I've worked in the travel industry, I've worked in the insurance industry, and I've worked in the business industry for government. I also ran my own business after taking redundancy. And then unfortunately, I was in a head-on car accident and I needed time to recover. And in that time, unfortunately, I lost a lot of my clients and I wasn't able to work. Well, as I was getting better, I would maybe start looking at going back to the world of work. And I'm looking at job adverts online. Obviously, the application process has changed. Everything is now online. You don't look at job ads in papers anymore. And most of those adverts were asking for a degree or equivalent experience. I was talking at the time to a friend of mine and I was saying, oh my goodness, I'm not very good at expressing myself and explaining quite concisely about all this experience I've got. It'd be easier to tick a box to say I've got a degree. And she said, well, why don't you go to university then and get your degree? And I was like, well, I can't. At that time, I was 44 years old, too old to go to university, and I definitely can't afford it. To which she replied, well, everybody can afford to go to university. You can get help. There is loan supports and maintenance loans and fees loans, things like that. And she sat down with me and literally laid it out to me to prove to me that I could do it. And so in the August, I rung the University of Plymouth and I got through to the confirmation and clearing call centre. And I actually was inquiring about putting an application in to attend university a year later. But actually, through the conversation that I had, I then found out there were spaces on that course starting that September if I could do a foundation year to help me academically.
Did you have the qualifications that the entry requirements to go in straight away?
So because I'd left school with just GCSEs as being academic qualifications and most of the rest of my kind of skill set had come from learning in a workplace environment, I wasn't able to go straight into a business degree. I needed to have A-level or A-level equivalent. And it also became quite apparent that I would probably benefit from some academic writing abilities as well. I was offered a foundation year to do management, government and law. And that then meant that there were students that were going off to do law degrees and criminology degrees. There were students that were potentially going off and doing finance and economics, and students that were going to do lots of different business courses, be it tourism, cruise management, business management. So we were quite a nice group of people with lots of different ideas. I was able to actually change it to actually business management and specialise in business management, because that actually was really what I wanted to do. But it actually took my foundation year to kind of settle that in.
So it wasn't that you had to decide absolutely upon the foundation course what you wanted to do with your HE course. There were still options open to you.
Definitely still options open to me. The beauty of my foundation year was the flexibility. And at that point, I just knew I wanted to do a business degree in some format.
When you enrolled or when you started either your foundation course or your HE course, I imagine you had something in mind with what you wanted to do with those qualifications. During the process of doing the study, have those aspirations changed?
I honestly had it in my head that I needed the paperwork in line, that I was going to go and get my degree, I was going to carry on because I wanted to teach, but I don't want to teach anymore. I want to carry on with student engagement. I've also got a great love of analysing data, and I'm hoping to go on and do data analytics as a master's and try and combine, then find a way of combining the two. So I still really don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. It's moving, it's emerging, but I've had the ability to test things, try things and kind of grow while I've been at university, and also decide the things what I thought I wanted to do isn't now what I want to do.
So it sounds like it's opened up a world of opportunities to you, and perhaps what you thought about university and HE providers before you were in there is quite different from how you feel about it now.
Definitely. I originally thought I was coming to university to get a piece of paper, to sign on the dotted line to say she can do this, so that I could then go and teach and then look at teaching qualifications. But I don't want to teach. I want to work in the other sectors, the other areas of student engagement and student support. But I do like helping students, and therefore that side of things is actually what makes me tick.
So you've sort of found yourself, perhaps?
Definitely. I would say that 4 years ago, when I stepped onto campus at the beginning of Freshers Week, I had no confidence. I thought I was too old. I thought I stood out like a sore thumb. And I honestly kept thinking that someone was going to come up to me and go, what are you doing here? I now walk around on campus. I'm proud to be on campus as a student. I'm proud to be a mature student. And I love, every moment of being on, not only just on campus, but every moment of opportunity that's kind of offered to me, be it the learning within my modules or the additional kind of things that you can tap into as a student.
Is it correct to say that information and talking to people and being open-minded were really things that helped you overcome those barriers to studying at HE? And is there anything that you can pinpoint, anything else that really helped you?
Definitely talking to, believe it or not, quite young people, actually. My husband didn't go to university. My son was still at secondary school when I applied to go to university. My parents didn't go to university. I didn't know about student finance. I didn't know that I could ask for things. While I was at school, dyslexia wasn't even a recognised thing. And I honestly believed I was dyslexic as well, which was another barrier to going to university. Yeah.
So you're saying there was, there was an academic barrier, and actually, even though you don't necessarily have to take full advantage of the support services that universities and colleges offer, they're there. So you highlighted that there's dyslexia testing, and I went through that as well years ago when I was at university, and I was given equipment and support to help with that. So it's almost as if you can identify that you have a barrier to learning, then there are things that you can access to get over that barrier. You were talking about some of the other support services in its broader sense that you've worked with as a student ambassador. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Careers Hub and those kind of services that you've worked in?
Definitely. Trying to get some careers advice generically, if you've not been in HE or FE, is very difficult. What I've since discovered by working in the Careers Hub is the fact that not only do all students get access to career support throughout their journey of being in HE at the University of Plymouth, but you've got lifelong membership, which means that as an alumni of the University of Plymouth, you can tap into career support going forwards. All students, while you're still in education at the University of Plymouth, you can access LinkedIn Learning. Well, from that, I've gone on and done, I think my last count was something like 32 courses through LinkedIn Learning, where whenever I've hit a module and I've panicked and I don't know much about that, I've done a LinkedIn Learning, and you tie that in with the careers service and then sit down and talk to them about an actual job you want to apply for, or a graduate program, or even for me, my master's application, to me, that's worth its weight in gold.
You quite often hear that universities cost a lot of money, but you don't often hear about all of the substantial benefits that you will get, you know, the opportunities, the access to certain things that actually do cost money. It's equipment, it's on, it's services, all these things that you're touching upon that actually, you know, there is value for money, access to employability experts, all available to you when you're studying in HE. We know about the stresses of juggling studying and home life and possibly work. Have you found that it's had a detrimental or even a positive impact on your sense of well-being and your mental health?
For me, it's been a positive. Prior to coming to university, I worked from home. Self-employment back then, prior to my car accident, was very isolating, as was my recovery. I found that coming onto campus, as I started to get better, I was able to get back into rock climbing. So I'm, you know, kind of part of the society. We do a lot of bouldering, and actually I've done bouldering competitions with the university, which has been brilliant. And again, met a completely different, diverse kind of group of friends that have climbed in different parts of the country and things. And that's great. I've also been part of a Plymouth Matures Society as well. So it's a student society for mature students. And you get together on a, you know, on a Wednesday for a coffee and cake. It's about being able to moan about juggling family life, juggling having to earn, you know, on a part-time job, juggling the fact that you're a full-time student, but sometimes your partner doesn't appreciate that. And because you've been at home, they kind of can't work out why dinner's not cooked. I've started to not work at home. I now work on campus, which means I treat going to university now as a day job. The support network's been lovely, but not just with fellow mature students, but also with younger students as well.
So you find they're quite understanding of the fact that there is quite a diverse array of people who make up a student cohort these days?
Definitely. And it's interesting, you do have a tendency to kind of, you don't make friends necessarily with people that are just your same age or on your same course. I've got a lot of friends that are international students, they're master's students, they're in different faculties, and I've met them through being a student ambassador, doing open days with them, or I've met them because I'm in a society, and so you meet, you know, once a week, and, you know, for me, it was, you know, doing climbing and things, and yeah, so you meet through a variety of different interests, and then age doesn't become an issue. You know, and also you do a lot, certainly within the business school, we do a lot of group work projects as well. So you start bouncing skills and ideas off each other, and you soon learn quite quickly. It doesn't matter how old somebody is, how young they are, how old they are. They've got these different skills within the group, be it IT skills, be it confidence skills, be it business skills, you know, knowledge of part-time jobs and things that they've worked in different sectors to you. And, you know, they've worked in family businesses and things. So, yeah, I think that you stop looking at how old somebody is or how young somebody is.
You have mentioned a few times you're a student ambassador as well. So for anyone who doesn't necessarily know what that is, could you tell us a little bit about what being a student ambassador for the university is? Essentially, it's a way of earning money as a part-time job, isn't it?
For me, it's been an absolute lifesaver, because the beauty of being a student ambassador is that you go onto a bank of ambassadors. And then what actually happens is that work gets offered out, and then you reply if you're able to accept it. And some of it's done on a first come, first serve basis. Others it's done by meeting a certain criteria for a piece of work. But more importantly, it means that you can turn that tap off and on. So when I'm literally knee deep in dissertation, your deadlines and module deadlines, I just won't reply to any of those emails. I'll just let those opportunities pass. Equally through the summer, when I've not got work on, I will accept lots and lots of work. So I, for the last couple of years, I've been kind of part of the confirmation clearing call centre. I've negotiated and organised and coordinated international arrivals for our international students. And then I've taken small pieces of work on throughout the whole of the academic year. So open days on Saturdays, because it's not a study day. But the beauty of it is it's a full day of work. And more importantly, it's paid well as well.
What would you say to someone considering weighing up the pros and cons of returning to study as an adult learner?
I think the most important thing is, if you've got any inkling of returning to study, investigate it. Don't put barriers up. Don't think of all the reasons why you can't do something. Go and investigate how you can do something. More often than not, it's your fear that's driving those barriers, nothing else. I was petrified. I'm still petrified. I'm about to go on and do a master's, hopefully in September. And all those fears are resurfacing. Will I be good enough? Oh my God, what if the course is really difficult? It starts again, fears. But what I've learned is to keep the fears at bay, keep asking questions, go to the module lead, ask questions.
Joanne talked about feeling intimidated about how much of life is online now, which reminded me to point out that you can still request a paper copy of the UKESS application form if you feel more comfortable doing it that way, and we'll put a link on the website. I think what is most surprising about Joanne's experience of HE is that rather than just the means to an end, HE is part of who she is now and of her future career. Next, we have Jack, who, unlike most of his contemporaries, didn't go straight into HE after leaving school. He knew he wanted to do directing, but waited until he felt he had the right experience for the course. As a first-generation uni-goer from Sunderland, Jack faced various challenges, moving across the country and studying in lockdowns added to his feeling of chronic isolation. Yet Jack maintains that his and anyone else's experience of HE is what you make of it. And it's not all about the end goal. There is so much personal growth to be found in an HE experience.
So it's Jack Stoker. I'm in second year at the University of Plymouth. I'm studying directing. I've come all the way down from Sunderland. So I'm probably the only Northerner on my course, or proper Northerner anyway.
How did you feel about school, and why was it perhaps that you didn't go straight into higher education out of school?
Specialist training was something that appealed to us. So I didn't just want to have the university experience. I wanted to go to a conservatoire that specialised in what I wanted to do, because I originally wanted to do acting. When I couldn't get into the ones that I wanted to, I found that working and trying to hone my craft on the side of my career was something that that seemed to be more suitable, because I'm not typically drama school material, as it were. And I'm not sure why that is. But I think when you look at a typical drama student and you look at me, there's not many alignments.
You wanted to have that break to consolidate what you wanted to do, to make sure that you were doing the right thing in the right place. So if I ask how old you are, that'll give us an idea of what sort of break you've had. What was it that you were doing work-wise when you left school?
I'm 25. I went into banking pretty quickly. I worked in a student union as the president in Newcastle for two terms. So I worked in FE and HE education. So that was really valuable, because I got to see what it was like because obviously I'd went through the college experience, but seeing people in higher education was a whole other ball game. But because I worked in a predominantly FE institution, seeing people doing HE courses there was just reaffirmed that unless it was somewhere that I really wanted to get into, I was willing to wait as long as I needed to get in, rather than just take what was on offer.
Was it finding the right course and finding that you did have the entry requirements? Was there anything that you had to do after school in terms of qualifications, or could you go straight into your chosen HE course once you found that?
You could go straight into it, because it all required an audition.
Yeah.
So as long as you fit their criteria, you were good. And I thought I was, but I just don't think that I was typically the sort of student that would go to these prestigious 200-year-old institutions.
So did you feel that there was still, even now, a sort of sense of not fitting in certain institutions? And is that something that actually you feel you've changed your mind on being at Plymouth? Do you feel like there is a more inclusive environment now?
As part of my course, I feel like part of a family, part of something bigger.
In terms of what you expected university to be, is there a difference, or is it what you thought it would be?
It's different, but I think that part of that is down to the fact that I came to the Southwest, and that is just a whole other different ball game to the rest of the country. The same as the Northeast, they're just two very different. They're both very different the rest of the country, but different in their own ways. So coming to university down here, I've found myself not surrounded by people who I thought I'd be surrounded by. So that's been quite a challenge.
Are there any things that, any sort of support services or anything that you can think of that sort of helps you adjust to that?
This maybe just the arts in general, but if you feel like you're really good at what you do and you don't go study something in the arts because you know you've got a secure job in the future, you do it because it's your passion, it's what you love. So it's about homing your own craft and making sure that you're as confident as you can be in yourself and how good you are in your own ability. So I take comfort in that I think and I know that I'm really good at what I do, and it's just about expressing that.
In terms of what kind of barriers there are to your learning, what would you identify them as, do you think? Financial, geographical, do you come from a family where people have been to university? What was your knowledge of uni like?
So all my friends went to university, everyone around me did, but my family didn't. I came from a non-working class family, didn't have much money, council estate in Sunderland, shipbuilding family before the 80s, and it was just really different. So coming down here financially, that was a bit of a mess.
You're working as student ambassador. Is that a good flexible way of earning a bit of income that works around your studies?
It is, yeah. In my course this year, in this term at least, we've only been in 2 hours every day, so it's been quite easy to fit work in. But for other times when we've been in 9 to 5 every day, it's a nice way to make some income.
What sort of opportunities are open to you to get out of classrooms and do other things?
We do practical, and we even had placements at different theatre companies for a term, and next year we've got a 3-month placement, so that's really good.
Do you think the support with the pressures of the academic side of thing, like I believe there's like a study skills workshop, things like that you can access?
Well, they've got a drop-in, mental health drop-in. I've also, but the biggest help I've earned is from my GP, because they've referred me on to Plymouth Options, and I've had loads of support from them.
Have you accessed any of the support services in the Student Hub, that kind of thing?
They're really good.
What would you say the impact on your mental health of studying, and you know, if you studied through COVID as well, lockdowns, having to do stuff online, how's that impacted how you feel about your studies?
We got into our student accommodation and we didn't get into a classroom until the year after. Well, we got in actually, sorry, once a week, but it was socially distant and the class had to be split in two, so it was bizarre. But it had a horrible strain on your mental health. That's just how it unfortunately goes.
In terms of what you would say to somebody who had left school and they were doing different jobs and they didn't necessarily know what they wanted to do, if they have an inkling of returning to study at HE level, what would you say to them?
I would say, instead of thinking of university as a sort of binary thing where the end goal is to get a job, think of university as a place where you get to hone your own skills. Like, if you're well aware that the likelihood of you getting a job as a direct result of going to university might be minimal, that's okay. Because as long as you can hone your abilities and your skills in that field, then you can go anywhere, because it's you who's got the drive, it's not the university. If the university can provide that extra training, that extra layer of protection in terms of how you feel in your own career, I would just change how you think university is able to help you. Think of it more as honing your own skills as opposed to a job hunting 3-year experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. A lot of people think of it as, you know, a vocation. This is something that I'm going to do to get this career. And actually they miss out all of the other learning experiences and other benefits that they might get, which you don't necessarily know what they are until you're doing it. You know, you're telling us what you have benefited from because you're doing it, and I don't necessarily know if you would have known that before doing it.
Yeah.
So in terms of things like finances and those kind of barriers, do you feel like finding out, getting more information, finding out that you can work as a student ambassador, that has helped you be able to study?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely a nice way to make extra money. And because I worked, because I had a proper career before this, I'd say a proper career in the sense that I could have had a lifelong career in what I was doing before this. So I have like all debts and stuff I still have to pay, whereas some people may not have that. So yes, having that extra support there, that money, and knowing that you might have the flexibility to work is a big help.
Yeah, it's a juggle. As you say, if you want to change your life and have different experiences and opportunities, then it does enable you to do that.
Yeah, 100%. It just depends on your outlook on how that's going to change your life.
Is there anything else that you would say to someone who was sort of stacking up reasons not to go on to study at HE?
I would say if there's a place or a course that is exactly what you want to do, you should do it. Because even if afterwards you can't say, oh, well, I'll get to work in the Ministry of Defence, for example, if that's not there, that's okay. Because you know the time's been valuable. You've then built up your own portfolio within. You know, just realise it's for you and it's not for anyone else.
So it's not necessarily just a means to an end, actually. It can be what you make of it, I suppose, is what you're saying.
Thank you to everyone that we've spoken to for this episode. What I found the most interesting about chatting with these three very different people from different backgrounds is that all of them have highlighted the same thing. And funnily enough, in the same words, it's not just a piece of paper. They have all discovered unexpected things about themselves and their life path. And I think they would all agree that their HE experience has turned out to be quite different from how they thought it would be. To access all our resources, including the first series of HE Knowledge Hub podcast, visit our website, nextstepssw.ac.uk, where we have a dedicated adult learner section of our student area, where you can sign up to our adult learner newsletter to receive periodic, not exhaustive, emails with updates and resources, especially for people returning to study. We also have student, parent and carer, and school and college newsletter sign up, and these can be found in each area of our website. You can join the conversation about hashtag Fairer Futures on social at NextStepsSW. Thanks for listening.